O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, October 28th, 2025. Kind of a unique testimony Tuesday today, as a board member sent me a message by Pastor Jack Hibbs, and he dives deeply into one of the most controversial and misunderstood topics in church history, the truth about the Sabbath and Sunday worship. Has the church drifted from God's original command? What does the Bible really say about the Sabbath? And why does obedience to God's word matter more than ever before? Buckle up, listen carefully, and may God's Spirit reveal truth to us all. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs on today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
Let's talk about something that has stirred hearts, divided opinions, and challenged tradition for centuries, the truth about the Sabbath and Sunday worship. Because today, many Christians are confused, many are sincere, but sincerely mistaken about what the Word of God actually says. And I want you to listen carefully, because truth is not found in tradition, it's found in Scripture alone. When we talk about the Sabbath, we've got to go all the way back, not to Moses, not to Sinai, but to the very beginning. Before there was a Jew, before there was a law, before there was even sin, there was God and there was rest. Genesis 2:2-3 tells us that after 6 days of creation, God rested on the seventh day. He blessed it and he sanctified it. Now don't miss that. He didn't bless the mountains, he didn't sanctify the oceans, he didn't call any other day holy, only the seventh day. That's not a man-made idea, that's not religion, that's divine order. That's God establishing a rhythm of life that points back to him. The Sabbath was never about rules, it was about relationship. It was about reminding mankind that we are created beings, not creators, that we are dependent, not independent, that we rest not because we're lazy, but because we trust. And right there in the garden, before there was a temple or a priest or a commandment written in stone, God gave mankind the gift of rest, the Sabbath. It wasn't called the Jewish Sabbath. It was God's Sabbath, given to humanity. That's why Jesus could later say, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath," because it was designed for all of us, a sacred pause in a busy world, a divine reminder that everything begins and ends with him. But you know what happened? Sin entered, and ever since, man has tried to rewrite what God established. We've twisted the simplicity of the Sabbath into either legalism on one side or complete neglect on the other. The Pharisees made it a system of control, loading people down with impossible rules. And today, many in the modern church have dismissed it entirely, saying it doesn't matter anymore. Both extremes miss the heart of God. When God sanctified that seventh day, he wasn't just marking time, he was revealing his character. His rest wasn't because he was tired. God never gets tired. His rest was a declaration that creation was complete, that it was good, that it was finished. Sound familiar? When Jesus hung on the cross and said, "It is finished," he echoed that same divine completion, creation finished in Genesis, redemption finished at Calvary. The Sabbath reminds us of both, and that's why it's sacred. It's not about inactivity, it's about identity. Who is your source? Who do you depend on? Who defines your time, your work, your worship? God said, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Remember, because he knew we'd forget. He knew the world would pull us into constant busyness, endless striving, and spiritual distraction. He knew we'd be tempted to measure our worth by productivity instead of presence. But every seventh day, God says, "Stop. Be still. Remember who made you." The Sabbath is God's way of saying, "You stir not a machine, you stir my creation." And when we rest in him, we stir declaring, "God, you are enough. Listen, family, this isn't about a calendar argument or denominational debate. It's about honoring the Creator. It's about aligning with the rhythm He built into the universe. The sun rises and sets because He ordered it. The seasons come and go because He designed them. And one day in seven is set apart because He blessed it. That means when you acknowledge the Sabbath, you're aligning yourself with the pattern of creation itself. You're saying, God, I trust you more than my schedule. I honor what you call holy. That's powerful. And it's something the world desperately needs to see again. A people who live by God's design, not man's convenience. Now, some will say, Jack, does it really matter? Isn't every day the Lord's? Of course, every day belongs to Him, but only one day did He set apart and sanctify. You see, holiness means set apart. God chose the seventh day as a memorial of His creative power. And when we keep it holy, we are testifying that He alone is the creator and sustainer of life. And that's why this matters. Because we're living in a culture that's forgotten how to rest. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, we run ourselves ragged. We chase things that never satisfy. And we wonder why our souls are exhausted. But God already gave us the solution. Rest in me. Trust my rhythm. Remember my creation. So before we even move into what man did with Sunday worship and religious systems, we have to start where God started with the seventh day, blessed and made holy. Not as a law to bind you, but as a gift to free you. My friend, maybe it's time for you to pause, to breathe, to remember that your life, your breath, your time, they all come from Him. If this truth is stirring something in your heart, if God's word is opening your eyes to see His design more clearly, don't keep it to yourself. Let's spread this message of truth and freedom together. When Jesus stepped into the world, He didn't come to erase the law. He came to fulfill it. And when it came to the Sabbath, He didn't come to abolish it. He came to restore its meaning. The religious leaders of His day had turned something beautiful into something burdensome. They took what God made as a blessing and twisted it into a system of control. And Jesus, being the Lord of truth, wasn't about to let that stand. In Mark 2:27, Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." That statement shook the religious world of His day. It was radical. It was liberating. Because the Pharisees had flipped it upside down, they made the Sabbath into a master, not a servant. They created hundreds of petty regulations, laws about how far you could walk, what you could carry, even how you could prepare your food. They buried the spirit of rest under mountains of rules. But Jesus stepped in and said, "You missed the point. The Sabbath wasn't designed to trap you in fear of breaking it. It was given to free you from the tyranny of endless striving." God made the Sabbath as a gift, a sacred rhythm of rest and renewal, and Jesus came to return it to its rightful place. When we read the Gospels, we see Jesus doing what no other teacher dared to do. He healed on the Sabbath. He taught in the synagogues on the Sabbath. He walked with His disciples through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And each time the religious elite accused Him of breaking the law. But He wasn't breaking the Sabbath. He was breaking their interpretation of it. Think about that scene in Luke 13, a woman who had been bent over for 18 years, 18 years of pain, shame, and rejection. And Jesus sees her and He says, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity," and she stands upright for the first time in almost two decades, and the crowd rejoices. But the religious leaders, they're angry, angry because He did it on the Sabbath. And Jesus turns to them and says, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you untie your ox or donkey and lead it to water on the Sabbath? Shouldn't this woman, a daughter of Abraham, be set free on this day?" That's the heart of God right there. Mercy over man-made rules, compassion over cold tradition, freedom over fear. Jesus wasn't rebelling against the Sabbath. He was redeeming it. He was revealing what it truly meant. It was never about rules. It was about relationship. The Sabbath was a day to draw near to God, to experience His presence, to remember His faithfulness, to rest in His goodness. And Jesus, being the very presence of God in human flesh, was showing them that rest was no longer just a day, it was a person. That's why He could say in Matthew 11:28, "Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He didn't say, "Come to a system." He didn't say, "Come to a set of rituals." He said, "Come to Me, because He is the rest our souls are searching for." And that's the tragedy of religion without relationship. It can make you look holy on the outside while leaving you empty on the inside. The Pharisees honored the Sabbath with their lips, but their hearts were far from God. Jesus exposed that hypocrisy. He showed that true obedience isn't about outward restriction, it's about inward transformation. When we rest in Christ, we're living out the very essence of the Sabbath. We're saying, "Lord, I trust You more than my effort. I rest in Your finished work." You see, when Jesus healed, when He forgave, when He restored, He was demonstrating what the Sabbath was always meant to be, a time of restoration. That's the gospel in motion. And church, that's what God is still calling us to today, to stop striving, to stop performing, to stop trying to earn what has already been given in Christ. Jesus fulfilled the Sabbath because He is our rest. He is our peace. He is our completeness. The same God who rested after creation now invites us to rest in redemption. So maybe you've been weighed down by rules, or maybe you've been too busy to rest. Maybe you've treated the Sabbath as just another day. Let me tell you, God's rest is still available. It's not found in ritual. It's found in relationship. When you come to Jesus, He gives you peace. This world can't imitate, and religion can't manufacture. And I want to challenge you, take this to heart. Don't just hear it, live it. Rediscover what it means to rest in Christ. Step out of legalism. Step out of busyness. Step into His presence and let Him restore your soul. If this message has reminded you of the freedom and rest that only Jesus can bring, let's share that truth together. Let's be honest. If there's one thing the enemy has always tried to do, it's distort what God has made holy. From the very beginning, Satan has questioned the Word of God. Did God really say? And that same question has echoed through history when it comes to the Sabbath. Because somewhere along the line, what God sanctified, man decided to change. Now listen, there's no verse in the Bible that says, "God changed the Sabbath from the seventh day to the first day." You can search Genesis to Revelation and you won't find it. There's no command, no example, no apostolic decree. The truth is, the change from Sabbath to Sunday didn't come from the pages of Scripture. It came from the pages of history and from the hands of man. The early church, after the resurrection, gathered often. Yes, sometimes on the first day of the week, but not to replace the Sabbath. They met to worship, to break bread, to celebrate the risen Christ. But nowhere did Jesus, nor any apostle, ever say, "We now keep Sunday instead of the Sabbath." That idea didn't exist in the first century. It was birthed centuries later, under Roman influence, not divine inspiration. You see, in the first few hundred years after Christ, Christianity began spreading rapidly through the Roman Empire, and Rome was a pagan culture steeped in sun worship. The pagans honored the venerable day of the sun, and as Christianity grew, compromise crept in. Political leaders wanted unity. Religious leaders wanted acceptance. And so the sacred day God set apart, the seventh day, began to be replaced by the day the pagans already celebrated, Sunday. History tells us that in AD 321, Emperor Constantine issued a civil decree declaring that the venerable day of the sun would be a day of rest for the empire. It wasn't about honoring the God of the Bible, it was about unifying pagans and Christians under one imperial system. And that's the tragic reality. The Sabbath change came not by the command of Christ, but by the convenience of Constantine. And you know what's even more striking? Centuries later, even the Church of Rome admitted it. Catholic historians openly stated, "We changed the day from Saturday to Sunday by our own authority." That's not my opinion, that's historical fact. They claimed the power to alter God's commands. But friends, no human institution, no religious authority, no emperor, no council has the right to change what God himself sanctified. And that's why this issue isn't just about a day, it's about authority. Who defines truth? Who has the final say in your worship, man or God? Because when we choose tradition over scripture, we elevate human authority above divine revelation. That's dangerous ground. God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Matthew 24:35. When God sanctified the seventh day, he declared it holy. And what God declares holy, man cannot make common. Now don't misunderstand, this isn't about condemning those who worship on Sunday. Many believers gather in genuine faith and love for Christ. But what we must understand is that Sunday worship is not the same as the Sabbath rest God ordained. The problem isn't worshiping on Sunday, it's claiming that God changed his command when he didn't. The danger of man-made religion is that it replaces obedience with tradition. It offers form without substance, ritual without relationship. But God is calling his people back to truth, back to his word, back to what he established, not what history modified. And this is why discernment is so crucial in these last days. The Bible warns that deception will be subtle. The enemy doesn't always destroy truth. Sometimes he just distorts it. And if he can get the world, and even the church, to accept a man-made substitute for God's command, he's accomplished his goal. So we've got to ask ourselves, are we following Christ or are we following Constantine? Are we building our lives on the Word of God or on centuries of human tradition? Because at the end of the day, obedience isn't about comfort, it's about conviction. God's people are called to stand apart, to walk in truth, even when it's unpopular. And that's the message this generation needs to hear again. Not tradition, not compromise, but truth, straight from the unchanging Word of God. My friend, this is not about earning salvation. It's about honoring the Savior. It's about saying, "Lord, you are my authority, not history, not culture, not man." And when you make that stand, God honors it. If this message has opened your eyes to the truth of how man replaced God's command with convenience, I want to challenge you, take a stand for truth. Don't be afraid to question what tradition has told you. Go to the Word. Seek God. Let Scripture be your final authority. You know, church, at the heart of all of this, the Sabbath, Sunday worship, all the confusion and debate, there's really one central question. It's not about which day looks more convenient or which tradition feels more familiar. It's a question of authority. Who has the final word in your life? Is it God's word or is it man's tradition? That's the line being drawn right now across the landscape of the modern church. And I'll tell you, this is where the battle always has been. The enemy doesn't mind you being religious as long as you don't obey the word. He's fine if you attend church, sing the songs, and go through the motions. Just don't submit to scripture. Because once you decide the word of God is your authority, hell trembles. In Matthew 15:3, Jesus looked the Pharisees straight in the eye and said, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition?" What a statement. He was exposing something they didn't want to see, that their traditions had replaced truth. Their human rules had silenced God's voice. And that same spirit of religion is alive and well today. For many centuries, the church world has done exactly what the Pharisees did. We've built systems, structures, rituals, and doctrines that sound spiritual but have no foundation in Scripture. People say, but that's how it's always been done. My friend, age doesn't make something true. Scripture does. If it's not written in the Word of God, it has no authority over your life. You see, obedience is the truest expression of love. Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Notice he didn't say, "If you love me, follow church custom." Love and obedience walk hand in hand. When we choose to obey God rather than man, we're declaring, "Lord, you're my king. Your word is my law. Your truth is my standard." But here's where it gets uncomfortable, because truth always confronts comfort. When the Word of God collides with human tradition, one of them has to bow. And too often, instead of bowing to Scripture, we edit it to fit our lifestyle. We rationalize compromise. We say, well, God understands my situation, but truth doesn't bend, it stands. Throughout history, whenever the church drifted away from the Bible, corruption followed. When tradition replaced truth, darkness entered. But whenever men and women returned to Scripture, revival broke out. Think about it. Every awakening in history started when someone said, "We're going back to the Word." And that's what God is calling His people to do again, back to the book, back to the source, back to the voice of the living God. The Apostle Peter said in Acts 5:29, "We must obey God rather than men." That's the cry of the true believer. That's courage. That's conviction. And that's the dividing line of these last days. Because make no mistake, there's a shaking happening in the body of Christ. God is separating those who live by His word from those who live by convenience. You and I need to decide, will we stand on the unchanging word of God or follow the shifting winds of tradition? Because if we don't anchor ourselves in Scripture, the culture will anchor us in compromise. And the church that trades truth for popularity may fill seats, but it will never change souls. The authority of God's word is absolute. It doesn't need our vote. It doesn't need to be updated for the 21st century. It's eternal, alive, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And every time you open that book and choose to live by it, you're declaring that Jesus Christ, not man, not religion, not politics, is the ultimate authority of your life. So when it comes to the Sabbath or any command God has given, the question isn't, what does my denomination say? Or what do the majority think? The question is, what has God spoken? Because one day every tradition will fade, but His word will stand forever. Church, this is the hour to rise up and be people of the book again, to test every teaching, every sermon, every doctrine by the word of God. Don't just take my word for it. Open your Bible, see it for yourself. Let God confirm His truth in your spirit, because when you know His word, you can't be deceived. Maybe today the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart, saying, come back to my truth. Stop following what man said and start listening to what I said. If that's you, respond to Him. Choose obedience over opinion. Choose Scripture over system. Choose Jesus over tradition. And if this message has stirred your spirit, if God's word has reminded you who truly holds the authority in your life, let's keep spreading that truth together.
You've been hearing a message by Pastor Jack Hibbs. In fact, there was 10 more minutes, but all that you heard was what I could fit into today's edition, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, as Pastor Hibbs dived deeply into one of the most controversial and misunderstood topics in church history, the truth about the Sabbath and Sunday worship. I think there should be some really healthy discussion, prayer, and conversation over much of what he shared today. I know it's got me thinking, and I hope it did you too. If you missed a portion of the broadcast, want to hear it again, or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or WLUJ.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.